For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those are beautiful words from the Bible, specifically from the Gospel of John. That was John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, I'd say there is a really good possibility that most of you knew those words already. John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known individual verse of Scripture. And I mentioned to you all a couple of weeks ago that I'd seen a suggestion from the North American Mission Board, which is part of the Southern Baptist Convention, but it was suggested that pastors focus on John 3:16 on this specific date, because today's date is March 16th or 3:16. Now, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I first brought this up, normally I wouldn't be too favorable with someone else telling me what I need to preach. That's something that gets decided through prayer and through seeking the Lord's guidance. But I also suspected in the case of John 3:16, I could pretty easily get on board with that, which doesn't mean that I did not pray about it. Oh, I absolutely did. It doesn't mean that I did not seek direction from the Lord regarding whether or not this would, in fact, be the message that he would have for me to share today. Because, of course, I did seek his direction. But I can just tell you that I had a peace in my heart about it way back even when this was first mentioned. In fact, I had talked to David Roper about it. I said, if you come on March 3:16, I've heard suggestions that pastors preach on John 3:16. I said, but of course, only if that's the way the Lord is guiding. But in our case, in my case, I absolutely felt the Lord was leading me to do just that, because John 3:16 is a verse that so beautifully explains the essence of the gospel. And that word gospel means good news. And the good news for us is that God loved us so much that through Jesus, he made the way of redemption. God's way of redemption came through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that was God's gift to us. And I love preaching about that. Love preaching about Jesus Christ. There is never a more important message that people need to hear than that of God's saving grace which came through Jesus Christ. You know, last Sunday morning before my message, I prayed for my friend Steve Foster. He was preaching at a church in South Georgia, and I mentioned him by name here. He's preaching again this morning, and I forget what church he was at. Somewhere. Steve preaches most every Sunday somewhere, but I'll just mention his name again today, and let's pray for Steve as he is sharing the gospel. But we prayed for Steve last week, and the reason I brought his name up again right now is Steve shared a quote on Facebook this past week. Okay, I admit it. I look at a lot of Facebook, not as much as my wife, but I do look at Facebook a lot. But Steve shared a quote, and it was good, and I wanted to include it in my message here today. But the quote that Steve shared, he quoted somebody. These weren't his original words, but it said this: "The cross is the pulpit from which God preaches his love to the world." Ooh, I like that. The cross is the pulpit from which God preaches his love to the world. And that's what today's message is all about. It is about the love of God so clearly demonstrated when God sent Jesus, his Son, to this earth for the purpose of taking the punishment for our sins upon himself so that we could not only be forgiven, but have eternal life for our souls. All because he loved us. God loved us that much. And for the title of our message today, I took words right from our focus verse of John 3:16. For God so loved. For God so loved. That's the beginning of the verse, and that's what I chose to call this message. But it's not just catchy words for a title. It is an absolute truth of Scripture about the character of God that I don't want us to miss. Now, I know most of you in this room today are familiar with God's love. Most of you have already entered into a relationship with God when you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and Lord. And I hope that that applies to all of you here today. But perhaps someone has never experienced that. And perhaps your perception of God has never focused on the fact that He loves you. But I want you to know, beyond even a shadow of a doubt, that God loves you. And we see that throughout the Bible. 1 John chapter 4 tells us very plainly in these exact words. It says God is love. In fact, it tells us twice in that chapter of 1 John 4. In both verse 8 and in verse 16. It says God is love. Not just loving, but God is love. It is His very persona. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done up until this point in your life. Let's go back to John 3:16 again for a moment. It begins by saying, for God so loved the world. And that's not just a reference to the physical earth. It is talking about the people of the world. But I want you to think about what that means. The world. All of the people in the world, here and now, and in times past, and in times yet to come, God so loved the world. Now, we actually mentioned this verse briefly here in our Wednesday night study, this past Wednesday, here at the church in the fellowship hall. We talked about it, and we talked about what this verse does not say. It does not say that God loved some people of the world. No. It doesn't say that He only loved a select few, nor does it say that He loved based on our behavior. Ooh, and it's a good thing it doesn't say that, because all of us are sinners. We know that. And the Bible tells us that. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And my friends, since we could never atone for our own sin, we needed a Savior. And God graciously provided. That's why our verse goes on to say, for God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? Or more specifically, who did He give? The verse tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth born to be our Savior. Speaking of His birth, let me share a verse from Matthew chapter 1. As the angel prophesied the birth of Jesus, in Matthew 1 in verse 21, the angel said, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Who can be saved from sin? Who are the people that can be saved from sin? That verse said, His people. But let's read another verse of Scripture. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 says, He came unto His own, and His own did not receive Him. Most of the Jews rejected Him. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's right. To as many as were willing to receive him, to them was given the right to become the children of God. I love when they took Jesus, baby Jesus, 8 days old, I believe, to be presented in the temple. You remember what Simeon prophesied? He first said, the light of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He even mentioned the Gentiles first. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. It was never the intention of God to just have him be the Savior for the Hebrew people. But he said, Simeon prophesied, I've seen your salvation, the light of the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And as John 1, 11 and 12 said, to anyone who believed in his name, to them was given the right to become the children of God. To those who believe and trust in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Speaking of that blessed name of Jesus, let me read a verse from the book of Acts. Acts 4, verse 12. A verse that was speaking of Jesus in the prior verse. And it says, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. But if you are willing to receive him, putting your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then my friend, your life will be changed for all of eternity. And again, who does this apply to? Anyone willing to receive him. And let's continue stepping through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... I'm just going to stop and pause on that word for a moment. Whosoever. That means anybody. Anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if this is your first time in church. It doesn't matter if you're here every Sunday. It doesn't matter your ethnicity, your gender, your social status, or your economic background, nor any other thing you might could think of pertaining to your identity. The verse said, whosoever. It means you. It means me. It means the person sitting next to you. Whosoever. And let's keep reading. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. I want us to deeply think about that word. And I ask you this morning, do you believe in him? Truly believe? And let's clarify that word on a deeper level. To truly believe in Jesus is to put your full faith and trust in him. To believe in Jesus is more than just an intellectual acknowledgement that he existed. I mean, after all, the Bible tells us in James chapter 2, I believe around verse 19, that even the demons believe in Jesus. So to just mentally accept it is not what this is talking about. Not quite. But if you truly, and I mean truly, believe in Jesus, not just that he existed, but if you truly believe that he is the Son of God and that he is who he said he was, and you believe that he took your place upon the cross, if you truly believe that with all of your being, then listen, you will give him your heart. If you truly believe in all that he said and did, how could you not give him your heart? And truly believing in Jesus is believing that he alone can save you. And that's something that Jesus clarified in John 14:6 when he spoke of himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me, except through him. To fully believe in Jesus is to believe that he died for you. You could even put your name into the verse of John 3:16. For God so loved you. Put your name right there. Jesus so loved you that he died in your place. Do you believe that? And not only did Jesus die upon the cross, but God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? And my dear friends, if we truly believe that, it will change the way that we live. You see, to believe in Jesus is to receive him as your Savior. That also means that you embrace him as your Lord. And what I'm specifically talking about is that when you receive God's gift of salvation, praying for God's forgiveness from sin and asking Jesus to be your Savior, you are also making a commitment to follow Jesus. And that means forsaking old habits of sin and living your life now in the way that he desires. It means that going forward, you seek him in prayer and you seek him through his word, the Bible, and then you strive to live your life accordingly. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. Several things for us to note here. Number one, it doesn't mean that we earn our salvation through good behavior. No, we could never earn our salvation. We could never be good enough because we are sinners. But then Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation. But here's how it works. Because he first loved us and gave his life for us, we then likewise, in turn, we show our love for him by then living for him. But then secondly, once we receive Jesus, it doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you will still slip up. You'll still fall to temptation and sin sometimes, but the key there is to confess those sins, repent of those sins, and then strive to move past them. And not only does he forgive, but he gives us the wherewithal to overcome, meaning he gives us the strength to resist temptation as we continue to grow closer to him. You see, becoming a Christian is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in that, we have entered into a relationship with him. And it is a relationship that we seek to nurture and let it grow. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, "Seek the Lord and his strength." And then it says, "Seek his face." Evermore. Seek his face evermore. And that is part of our growing relationship with him. You see, receiving God's salvation through Jesus is not just securing our ticket into heaven and then just going on about our lives like we were before. But instead, as someone who has been redeemed by Jesus, people should see that change reflected in your life. As Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And my friends, that begins here and now. Yes, we have the benefit of heaven. But our abundant life in Christ begins the moment that you receive him as Savior upon this earth. But speaking of heaven, let's continue in our verse of John 3:16. And I keep going back to the beginning because I just want to emphasize these words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now let's explain that a little deeper. Just as the word believe in this verse means more than just a mental acknowledgement, the word perish means more than just a physical death. Because regarding our physical bodies in our lifetime on this earth, we all expect to die unless the rapture comes. We all expect to die upon this earth, but we see the deeper meaning of the words when comparing this verse with the entirety of Scripture. If our earthly life comes to an end and we have never accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, then our eternal soul is destined to an eternity not only separated from God, but condemned to the fires of hell. And I've heard people ask, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? And the answer is, He doesn't. Our sin sends us to hell. That is what has condemned us. But because, I want to make sure I keep finishing this, our sin has condemned us, yes, but because God loved us so, He made the way for us to no longer be condemned. And praise God, He did that through the gift of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God. Why? Because He loved us. He gave us that gift. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But when that verse, Romans 6:23, talks about the wages of sin is death, once again, that means more than the physical death of our bodies. That means eternal condemnation. But the gift of God spoken of in that verse is that He sent Jesus to this earth to bear the punishment for our sins. And that is a gift that He so freely offers to each and all of us. And listen, as recipients of that gift, we not only receive the forgiveness of sin, but also the promise of eternal life for our souls in heaven. And that is a promise straight from the Word of God. Folks, these frail physical bodies that we have now, these bodies that wear out eventually. I don't know about y'all, mine's just wearing out more all the time, it seems. But these bodies are but a temporary housing for our eternal souls. And after the death of our physical bodies, our soul lives on for all of eternity. But through Jesus Christ, our soul abides forever in heaven with Him if you have received Him. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, His purpose was to bring redemption and to reconcile us with God. Now, why did we need reconciliation? Because of our sin. Our sin placed a wedge between us and God. Our God is a holy God. He cannot abide in the presence of sin. And a holy God cannot just overlook sin, not without retribution. And that is where Jesus entered the picture. Let's look quickly at John 3:17, our next verse in our focus passage. I believe it was Trey who told me one time, he said, I don't like to talk about John 3:16 and not also mention verse 17. It's the next verse. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You see, Jesus came to this earth not as a judge bringing wrath, but rather bringing escape from that wrath. And it's because Jesus endured the brutal punishment of the cross that we can be spared the judgment of God. God sent Jesus unto us. He did it for us. And now the difference, the separation between condemnation and salvation, is whether we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave His own body to be beaten, brutalized, and broken all on our behalf. And at the close of our service today, we're going to commemorate that with a time of communion. In other words, we will recognize and we will remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. But first, I want to emphasize once more the need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, receiving Him as your Savior and Lord. As we see in verse 17, God's purpose and desire for us was for us to experience salvation. Now again, for you folks who were here on Wednesday night, remember we covered 1 Timothy chapter 2. Remember how in verses 3 and 4 it spoke of the God of our salvation. And then it went on to say, who desires for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You hear that? The God of our salvation who desires for all people to be saved. That's His desire. Now we talked a few moments ago about the fires of hell. And that is a place reserved for the devil and his demons. But sadly, also, it'll be for those who never found reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. But that's not the desire of God. And I want to make sure we all understand that God does not want to condemn anyone. I shared 1 Timothy 2:4, but a similar verse is 2 Peter 3:9. This says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His desire. And that's why He sent Jesus. We mentioned earlier, God does not send anyone to hell. Our sins have already destined us to hell. But God, desiring salvation for us rather than condemnation, He sent Jesus. And verse 17 says, so that the world through Him might be saved. I sure hope all of you have reached out to Jesus. And I hope and pray that I've clearly communicated to you today that God loves you. He loved all the people of the world, and that is why God gave the gift of Jesus Christ unto us. He loved all people of the world. I keep referencing Wednesday night, and we talked about this. And I said, that sinner that you see, whose lifestyle enrages you, that's somebody who Jesus died for. Let's start seeing people the way that Jesus sees them. Let's start telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love a word my son often shares with us. He says, gospel conversations. He'll say, I had a good gospel conversation. And he's often having those gospel conversations with people, just random people out and about. My son and I had lunch this past Thursday. And after they had put the check down on the table, I left it there for a minute or so, see if he'd pick it up, and he didn't. But I digress. I picked the check up, gave the lady my card, and we had talked with her a little bit, and she came back and brought the check, and I filled in the amount for the tip and all that. And then my son asked me, he said, let me see your pen. I thought, what's he going to do with the pen? And he grabbed the check, and he started writing on it. And he said, thank you for being so nice. Jesus loves you. And he left that there on the table and he said, I kind of felt guilty. I kept feeling like I should start a gospel conversation with her. But at least maybe this will plant a seed. Maybe this will plant a seed. We've got to plant those seeds, folks. We got to let people know that Jesus loved us. And He came to this earth not to condemn us, but to save us. In fact, our focus passage today was John 3:16-17. Let's read the verse after that very quickly as we are winding down. John 3:18 said, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, I just can't emphasize this part enough. Remember, to believe in Him, to truly believe, is to put your complete, wholehearted faith and trust in Him to the point that you surrender your life to Him and follow after Him. Will you do that today if you have never done so? Jesus gave His all for you. And we're going to celebrate His sacrifice in just a few moments. But before we have our time of communion, we are going to have our time of invitation. You know, since God offers us the gift of Jesus, we have a choice. And that choice is to receive or reject. And what I mean is, you choose to either receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you choose to reject Him. And to be clear, choosing to not receive Jesus is to reject Him. And without Him, there is no hope of redemption. But again, I hope and pray that all of you have made that decision to receive Jesus and to follow after Him. And if not, I do plead with you to do so here today. If you will just reach out to Him in prayer with a sincere heart. If you would just pray something maybe like this, saying, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm a sinner and I need Your forgiveness. And I believe Jesus is Your Son and that You sent Him to redeem me. And I understand that Jesus not only died for me, but that He also rose from the dead. And now I want Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. And I invite Jesus into my heart and I want to live for Him. Now let me make it clear, it doesn't have to be those exact words at all, because God knows the intent of your heart. And all those words I just said, that may sound a little complicated. Listen, if your heart is sincere, you can pray something as simple as, Jesus, I need You, please save me. His arms are open to receive you. So we do prepare to close. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. And I do ask you to just get along with God for a minute. Go before Him in a time of silent prayer and just evaluate your own relationship with Him. That perhaps you are already a Christian, meaning that you accepted Jesus as your Savior sometime in the past. But maybe you've not been living for Him the way that you should. He calls you unto repentance today. Maybe someone is here today who has never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and Lord. And He certainly beckons you to come to Him today. You search your own heart and you call out unto Him as you have need. We're going to have our song of invitation here in just a moment. And I urge you to get your heart right with God before we partake of communion. And if you feel the need to come forward and pray in this time, that's what this time is all about. Let's all stand together, if you will. And let's prepare our hearts for our invitation. And in just a moment, we'll have our time of communion. But I'll just remind you that we call this an invitation because that's exactly what it is. You're being invited to respond. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I'll be down here at the front. If you just want to come and stand or kneel here at the altar, or maybe sit or stand here at the front row, that's what this time's all about. You open your heart to Him as we sing our song of invitation. I believe it's, I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope all of you have decided to follow Jesus.